All right. Are you ready? Yeah. Buckle up your seatbelt. No, I'm only kidding. I just thank and praise God, you know, for his word and for everything that he does. I'm still a little cold myself. I was running up and down them steps myself. But God is good. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke 10. That's where we are. Luke 10. And I'm going to be speaking to you about something that God placed upon my heart in the story about Martha and Mary. We've heard this many, many times, you know, about the two sisters and, you know, and everything. And I want to just talk to you about that you make the choice, because that's what it was, what happened in this scripture between two sisters. Not that one is greater than the other or anyone was less than the other, but sometimes we have to read more into the what God is saying, you know, through his word for his church now. Amen? Because they were present with Jesus at the time. We don't have, you know, that opportunity as they have, but we have the word of God, which is still the same. Amen? Amen? And if it gets crazy in here, I got my boy Dan, all right? And I told him when he come back, he got his taser and his pepper spray. So if you get out of hand, he gonna handle my business, all right? I'm only kidding. Come on, relax, man. Get over yourself. Get in church and everybody get. We're supposed to be going to heaven, dancing the streets of glory, and we're like this. And the world's partying, and they're going to hell. Right? Okay. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's no charge for that one, though. But just let me pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity, dear God. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, that you are great and greatly to be praised, oh God. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, dear God, as always, that you hide me behind the cross, dear God, that they'd hear all of me and none of you, that they may see all of you and none of me, oh God. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right? So here we are with Martha and Mary, and starts in Luke 10 in the 38th verse, coming to the 42nd verse. And it said, now it happened as they went, and he entered a certain village, there was a certain woman named Martha. Welcome him into her house. Home group, come on over. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Amen? Amen. In this whole story, in this passage, you have to understand, just to give you a little background, Jesus is at the point where he has revealed himself for who he is, the Son of Man and everything. The Pharisees hate him. Even his brothers hate him. And everything's going on. The world has rejected him. But Martha has accepted Jesus. They were friends, all right? This is Lazarus' sisters. Mary and Martha were Lazarus' sisters, for all these who didn't know, all right? Lazarus was the man that Jesus raised from the dead, for all these who didn't know that either, all right? But they had a relationship, okay? They had a relationship, and Jesus, these were people that were very dear to Jesus' heart. But like I said, at the time, here's Jesus. His face is set like a flint, the Bible says, because he knows he's going to Jerusalem. He knows that he's going to the cross to pay for our sin debt and for the world's. So right now, Jesus is all business, all right? Even though he's a friend, you have to understand that Jesus is all business at this point, because he knows what is happening. He knows, even though himself, he cannot let the world or emotions or anything get him distracted from what he has to do. Amen? So as he goes on here, and she invited him in, but she gets distracted with much serving, all right? There's nothing wrong with serving the Lord, but there's a proper time and a proper place, amen? And there's also a proper time and a proper place for us to be engaged with God at his word. And it's another thing where Jesus is talking to her about you're troubled with so many things. And in the world that we're living in, we could be troubled. And I'm sure some of you are troubled about a lot of things. Trouble about economics, trouble about relationships, trouble about family, troubled about marriage, troubled about children, trouble about a lot of things that we lose our focus and we don't keep the main focus is on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has promised. It's amazing that Chris did the thing about the presence, because you have to understand, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, when Jesus shows up, things change. But if we don't understand that we serve an omnipresent God, which means that he is always there, he's always in every situation, he's always in every circumstance of your life. Just because you leave the sanctuary at 12 o'clock or quarter after today, Jesus does not leave the building, all right? You have to go, but he's going with you. So it doesn't matter what you encounter. But one of the things I found out as studying and reading this thing, that the relationship that Mary had with Jesus started a while ago, and it started in Luke 7. Okay, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. And Luke 7, this was about the woman being forgiven. And at this time, Mary realized who Jesus was, all right? And she went to him, all right? And it says here in chapter 7, 36, it said, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table, at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster, a flask of fragrant oil, and it stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wipe his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrance. Now, anybody that knows anything about Jewish culture, you anointed the head. You did not anoint the feet. So in order for her to anoint the feet of Jesus, number one, it took humility, all right, for her to get down there and do what she was doing. Also, as a woman in that time, you never let down your hair. But there comes a time in your life when you understand that I am forgiven for everything. You don't care if you let down your hair. You don't care how many tears that are in your eyes. You don't care about nothing, because you understand if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, my sins were not being forgiven. And that's what relationship is all about. So you have to understand that this, what Jesus was talking about Mary, this what became her lifestyle after she encountered Jesus. And it should be our lifestyle too after we encounter Jesus, after we understand that all of my sins are forgiven, no matter what it was, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that our life should be a life of worship. Our life should be a life of worshiping God, because at his feet is forgiveness. At his feet is healing. At his feet is deliverance. At his feet is power over sin. Amen? Amen. So as it goes on, all right, we're going on here to the book of John, because I just want to just like put a little foundation about what I'm talking about, because in John 11, because see, even as believers, you have to understand, there's going to be situations and circumstances that are we going to encounter that we have no control over, all right? Death of loved ones is going to come into our life. There's going to be loss of jobs. There's going to be loss of finances. There's going to be all types of things that go on in our life. But we cannot allow them things that happen in our life to forget that we still owe him our worship. We still owe him our praise. Amen? And it's in John 11 where we see again Mary. It said, now a certain man, we all know the story, was sick, Lazarus, at Bethany, of the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrance and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, the one whom you love is sick. Relationship. Remember I said before, they had a relationship. So when they sent the message to Jesus, he said, listen, the one that you love, All right, the love that you want, the one that you love is sick. And when Jesus heard this, Jesus delayed. You know how the story went. Jesus delayed. He told his disciples. They didn't understand. They thought the man was sleeping. Jesus said, listen, Lazarus is dead. All right, and I got to go raise him back up. Because you have to understand about the gospel, church. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you have to understand Mary's adoration. Here her brother is sick, and he dies. Here's the gospel, Jesus Christ being lived out in front of her. Amen? See, because it doesn't matter what's dead in your life. If you take it to the feet of Jesus, he's the one that can resurrect it. Doesn't matter how many things are dying off in you. We get so worried about all that other stuff, and we forget about the one. So I just want to fast forward because I don't want to take up all the time. But then Martha hears about it, and she goes, and she says to Jesus that I'm glad you're here, but if you had been here, that my brother would not have died. All right, verse 28, it says, and when she had heard these things, she said that she went her way and secretly called Mary. Watch the difference, all right? The sister saying, the teacher has come, and he is calling for you. And as soon as she had heard, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was at the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose quickly, that they went out to follow her, saying that she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell down at his feet. Okay? When you understand the power that comes when you put yourself at the foot of Jesus, it doesn't matter what situation or circumstances that happen, you're going to put yourself back in the same place. Why? Because what he did there before, he'll do again in my life. Does everybody understand that? Here she is, that her brother had just died and everything else, but she still knew, I still got to worship God. See, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what transpires in your life. Your first place should be a place of worship. Amen? Before God, and then he will transition everything else. And we all know the story that Jesus rose Lazarus from the grave. Amen? Now, here it is again, verse chapter 12 of John. Then after 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead and whom he had raised from the dead, that they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was at the table. But Mary again took a pound of very costly spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus. This was this woman's practice. Amen? This was her practice of always love and adoration for Jesus. Amen? So we have to understand that. So that's what brings context into what I'm going to talk about today, because we have to make the choice. We have to make the choice that no matter what is going to happen in my life, what is going to be the position? What is going to be my position? What is going to be my heart's condition as I go through what I go through? All right? Because Jesus is just making Martha understand that the place that Mary has chosen is the place that all of us have to choose, no matter what goes on in our life. Amen? Because he said to her, Martha, Martha, you are distracted. There's a lot of times we can get distracted with things. Oh, newsflash. Sorry, Josh. Okay. Don't forget about Friday night. Okay? Oh, don't worry, I'll get back. We'll get right back to where we're going. Don't worry. All right? I've been trained to do this. Friday night, Saugerties, the Stallions thing. You get in for free. Wear a King's Fire t-shirt. All right? Get your friends. Buy them a t-shirt. We get in free. Lloyd's going to be dancing. I don't know who Lloyd's going to be. I said I did Gianna to do a little something-something, but I don't know who Lloyd's going to be. But anyway, all right, I just wanted, they told me to tell you, so I'm telling you, and it just hit me in the middle of what I was doing, okay? So now that it's over, we're back here with Martha and Mary, all right? And Jesus is talking to them, all right? But the thing of it is, you have to understand what really struck me about this, that we can all get distracted with much serving. We can't allow what we're doing in the house of God to take the place of our worship with God. Does everybody understand that? Because you can get so caught up in Sunday school, You can get so caught up in worship. You can get so caught up in preaching. You can get so caught up in the food pantry, so caught up in the clothing pantry, so caught up in the works of the church, and forget the one who made the church possible. Amen? So we have to understand, because that's what Jesus was doing. He was honing things in because he was getting ready to go off the scene. And he wanted her to understand, Mary, Martha, I have taught you. Because she said, the teacher is here. When she went to go talk to her sister, she said, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. We have to understand what the word of God says for our life. That the word of God is living and powerful, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Amen? Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In that prayer, in John 17, he said, Father, I have given them their word. You have to understand, no matter what situation or circumstance that's going on in your life, you need to get the word of God. Amen? And so that's what Jesus was making Martha to focus on. Yeah? Now listen, Martha was a widow and everything else. Mary, she didn't have nobody going on in your life. You know what the scripture said, that those who are virgins should be caring of the things of the Lord. Those who are married care about the husband, yada, yada, yada. Okay? But here's the point, that Jesus just honed all this stuff in and he wanted to understand, you're distracted. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. One thing is needed. And like Wes was saying earlier, one thing was needed. Even though I got the bad news, one thing is needed. I needed to connect with God through prayer. I needed him to hear my request. One thing is needed in a lot of your life. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Wow. To sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. Jesus came to preach the word. In the same way with home group, yes, we like to eat, yes, we like the cake and all that other stuff, but when we get to the point that's all you can worry about and you're not worrying about the word, you're going to miss the very visitation of Christ through the word. Amen? So that's what Jesus was doing. That's what it was important to him, because Jesus himself said in Matthew 4:4, when he was in the wilderness and the devil was tempting him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. What he was trying to do is get Jesus to act independently of God. Jesus could have easily did it, but that was not the will of God. The will of God for him to go and to be tempted so that we can know, even though we tempted, what we need to do. By intelligent use of the scripture, Jesus answered him and said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, it ain't always about what you eat, in a sense about what you are eating. The more of this word that you eat, the more that you're going to be able to withstand. That's what Jesus was saying. Mary chose the best part. You know, it wasn't the fact that Martha was a servant. Jesus knew she was a servant. Jesus knows that we're servers. But he doesn't want our servants to get in the way of what is most important for us each and every day. For us to spend time in the word of God every day, every morning, every night, meditate on these words. Amen? Job said that I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured your words of his mouth more than necessary food. How many times do you feel that it's more important for you to read your Bible than to go to Wendy's or McDonald's? Or anything else what we do. Yes, hunger has its place, but so does the word of God. Because it's through the word of God that you're going to be empowered. You ain't going to die just because you miss a meal. You can live 2 weeks without food. Okay? You can live 2 weeks. Yeah, you'll be a little cranky. I like that. You'll be a little cranky. But you can live 2 weeks without food. But you can't live 2 minutes without the word of God. So, but we have to make the choice, just like Martha and Mary had to make a choice. Mary made the choice that I'd rather listen to you. I understand now the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I understand now that I'm a born again believer, that my spirit has been renewed. Now, Jesus, teach me how to walk this thing out. See, that was her thing. She now realized, I'm born again. I've seen the true gospel lived out in my brother's life. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's why Jesus, when he showed up, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. She's seen a live demonstration of what the word of God says. That's what the good news is all about for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter that things seem like they're dying in your life. What does the word of God say about it? It's going to be resurrected again. But we have to put ourselves in the place, in the position for that word to be spoken. Jesus in John 6:63 said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak, the words that are in this Bible, will bring life to your spirit. They will bring life to your situation. They will bring life to everything that's going on in your life. But you're the one that has to make a choice that I'm going to believe God over CNN. I'm going to believe God over NBCN. I'm going to believe God over the banks. I'm going to believe God over my job. I'm going to believe God over everything. Because that's what matters. Mary was swift to hear as she sat to hear, paying close attention to what Jesus was saying. How many times do we get so distracted? We live in this technological age where everything, you're being bombarded with your mind, with everything that's coming in, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. You can't believe everything that's on that internet. Can't believe every picture you see either. They crop up everything. But you can believe God. And how many times am I swift to hear God, or I'm swift to hear gossip about somebody else? But Mary put herself in the position. Martha was distracted, and discouragement came from Mary's piety, her respect and worship and her devotion for God. See, people are going to get upset with you when you really start walking out this thing called Christianity, when you really start being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who do you think you are? Oh, you're a holy roller. Because that's what happened with her. She wasn't mad. She was mad because she had to do what she had to do, but that was the choice that she made. And now she came and got an attitude with Jesus. And actually what Jesus was saying to her, ooh, Josh, don't get hooked up like that. Okay. What she was really saying to her was a rebuke. Jesus was rebuking her for her position. So don't let Jesus rebuke you for your position. Jesus actually rebukes her because of all her worldly concerns. Martha wanted to be the hostess with the mostest. How you like my pineapple upside down cake? Or my brisket? All right? Instead of Jesus is in the room and everything is going to change. Those who are entangled in the cares of this life are not easily disentangled. When people get caught up, they are not easily disentangled. That's why you got to leave certain folks alone, because they're going to keep making the choices that they're making. As much as you love them, as much as you like them to get off alcohol, as much as you like them to get off drugs, as much as you like them for them to stop running around and doing what they're doing, they're entangled. And unless they get a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is nothing you could do. Absolutely nothing that you could do. Mary chose that one thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear a word. Martha's heart was divided, but godliness unites the divided heart. Many things she was distracted. She was disturbed by many things that were needless, while the one thing that she neglected was to be at Jesus' feet. We can get worried about so many things and neglect the one thing that we really need, and that's to take time out and sit at the feet of Jesus. Take time out to breathe. Take time out to stop. Take time out just to say a prayer. Take time out, and if all you can say is, Lord, help me, he hears that too. Because sometimes you ain't got time for all them. Now, Father God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm calling upon. You ain't got time for all that. Sometimes all you got to do is just say, help me, Jesus. And things will change in your life. All you got to understand that you now have the availability to go to the feet of Jesus for yourself. Amen? But it's you who have to make the choice. I, just like I had to make the choice. Now, she expected Jesus to have blamed Mary for not doing what she did, but Jesus blamed her for not doing what Mary did. Jesus said, don't come to me with that nonsense. You're the one that chose to go out there and cook all that food and all that. I'm cool without it. You know, I remember after a while, Jesus said, I have food, all right? And nobody even came. The disciples were like, did somebody bring him food? He said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that he gave me. Amen? That was Jesus' perspective on all of that. But we have to understand that at the feet of Jesus, at the cross, there is forgiveness, there is deliverance, and there is power. And when you are in the presence of God, sin cannot be present. Whenever you're in the presence of God, sin cannot be present. That's why Adam got kicked out of the garden. It wasn't that God did not know where Adam was. God's omniscient. He has perfect knowledge of human history and of human life. Adam was not in the place that God put him in. See, this place with Mary is a position. This is your position at the foot of them cross. Because that's where it is at the foot of the cross where you get your forgiveness. You get your deliverance. All right? In the presence of Jesus, there is freedom from the penalty of sin. Why? Because sin costs you. Sin will always cost you. It'll cost you more than you expected, and you're going to stay there longer than you expected. But always remember, if I confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. At the foot of Jesus is where it all happens. At the presence of Jesus, that there is the power over the presence of sin and for all who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you now have the power. You now have the power to say no to sin. You now have the power to say no to those distractions. You now have the power to say no to any addiction that is on this earth. Amen? There is nothing that's withholding. You are free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth about what? That I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus applauded Mary for her good wisdom. She had chosen that part, for she chose to be with Christ and took a better way of honoring Christ and pleasing him and receiving the word of God in her heart. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember, you have an enemy of your soul. And if you think he's going to lay down now just because you said yes to Jesus, you are sadly mistaken. He's going to come with everything that you like. He's just going to repackage it. All right? The devil wears Victoria's Secrets, and the devil wears them Armani suits too. And if you still got an appetite for the flesh, he's just going to repackage it, and he's going to come back again. He's not going to give up on it. But you have to understand, when this word is hidden in my heart like Joseph, even though Potiphar's wife was on him and on him and on him, sleep with me, lay with me. He wasn't worried about Potiphar. He said, how can I do this in the sight of God? My master has given me rule over everything except for you. He said, but how can I do this in the sight of God? See, we need to take our eyes off a man and put our eyes back on God. See, because a part with Christ is a good part. It is a part for the soul and eternity. It is a part that will never be taken away from those who have it. Paul said that I am persuaded, and I'm going to close with this in Romans 8. He said, I am persuaded that there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Men and devils cannot take it away from us, and God will not take it away from us. You understand that? You understand how powerful you are? But you're the one that has to make a choice. There's some people in here today that have to make a choice about God for real. See, we can't play church. It's time for playing church is over. But am I going to make a choice for Jesus for real? Some of you have forgot how to worship God. Why? Because tragedy has hit your home. Things have hit you. Things have hit you. Life has hit you. Life is going to hit all of us. But still, you have to understand, I have a place where I could come and worship God, where the peace of God could come flowing into my life, where the power of God could come flowing into my life. But you're the one that has to make that choice. We could either get better with God or we could get bitter with God. So many people I talk to are so embittered with God because they don't understand the things that we don't understand. They don't understand that they have an enemy for their soul. They don't understand that life is going to happen to each and every one of us. But we're not people who don't have no hope. Our hope is connected to an eternal perspective that is found in John 3:16. It said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We are connected to eternity through the cross of Jesus Christ. He is our anchor. He is our soul. He is everything, or he should be everything to you. Let us rise to our feet. Because I'm going to ask somebody, I'm going to challenge somebody today to make a choice for Jesus. To come and worship at his feet like you used to before. When you first got saved and you were so excited, but life has happened to you. And now, I don't even listen to praise and worship music no more. I don't even open up my Bible anymore because I think I could do it on my own. But this scripture here was just a lesson for us to understand we cannot do it on our own and that we have to make a choice. We can either allow the world to keep distracting us or we make a choice and say, okay, Jesus, this is too much. This is too much. This burden's too much. This hurt is too much. This pain is too much. And I need to come to the place and get this up off me. If that's you today, come on. Come on. Come to a place and start worshiping God like you used to worship God. Come on. Come on. I double dog dare you to come on down here and worship God out of your heart. I dare you. Get to that place. Come on. Get to that place. It ain't about me. It ain't about Pastor Don. It's about worshiping the King of Kings. It's about worshiping the Lord of Lords. It's about worshiping the only one that can change my situation and change my circumstance. He is here today and he wants to have a part in your life. But you're the one that has to choose it. Come. 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 And worship the Lord. Come and worship the Lord. Come and worship the Lord today. All those who have to go get children from Sunday school, you are now released to go get your children and everything else. But everybody who understands, I need to get back to that place with God where there's nothing but peace in my life. I need to get back to that place where I have so much confidence that no matter what happens to me in my life, I'm going to walk in strength. Come. Come. God wants you to worship him today. Throw it all off. Put it at the feet of Jesus. No matter what it is, get a picture of what it is in your mind that's troubling you. Get a picture of what it is that's holding you back from a true place of worship of God.